you know, this is a time of year where people talk so much about chemistry this and chemistry that and blah, blah, blah. So much of that is overblown. You know, what it comes down to is communication. Can you be on the same page? Can you do what is called first and foremost? And that's what I love about Art's offense. It's a very creative offense. We've spent a lot of time together talking through concepts and ideas and philosophy and different things and just really enjoying that relationship and excited to see how it looks out there week one.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. A cooler night in St. Louis. Game time temp will be in the low 70s. That's fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal services for the Pirates and Redbirds. Aaron Rodgers on team chemistry being overrated from his visit on Mad Dog Radio with Adam Schein Monday for a long sit-down interview. We do have some Steelers news here to go over in the last few minutes. Compliments of Mark Cabali. Will Howard is going to the short-term IR. So is rookie corner, who we didn't see all training camp and preseason, seventh-round pick Dante Kent. That means they'll miss a minimum of four games. It could be more. Could be longer than that. The guys who are getting picked back up to take their spots, Chuck Clark. He had his locker at Steelers headquarters at the practice facility. They never made him hand in his playbook or anything like that, so it was a paperwork move. It was also a paperwork move for Max Sharping, the backup offensive lineman. Now, this is kind of getting into Steelers minutia a little bit, so I won't go too heavy on this. But the thinking there is that their primary backup tackle, guy that plays every position, Calvin Anderson, is hurt and might not be available for week one. So they needed or wanted another offensive line body. So that's why James Pierre stays on practice squad and this guy ends up making the team. As far as other offensive linemen go, they were rumored to bring in Dalton Reisner, a guard, for a free agent visit a few days ago. He signed with Cincinnati. He is not allowed a sack in 2 years. He didn't commit a penalty last year. Went 10 games after he returned from injury. Did not commit a penalty or allow a sack at right guard. He now heads to Cincinnati to help protect Joe Burrow.
Objectively, don't like that for the Steelers in the division, and I'm not going to make it sound like bringing in one interior offensive lineman suddenly changes the calculus, but that makes the Bengals better. It makes their offensive line deeper and better.
Yep.
And the more that Joe Burrow spends the season upright with time to throw,
yeah,
the worse it is for the Steelers and everyone else in the division.
All right, one more Cabali bomb. He tweeted this.
Why don't we call him a kabam?
A kabam. A cabal?
No, you can't call that a cabal, because then it's like people would think that that's like a shady organization of people.
A kabam.
Yeah.
Cabal is also a character in Mortal Kombat.
Why does your voice sound so bad right now?
Yeah, you sounded like RFK Jr. for a second.
Sorry, let me rephrase.
Yes.
Cabal was also a character in Mortal Kombat.
Charlie, this is not the first time you've worked in radio. This is not your opening day, your first day on the job. You know that your voice needs to be functioning properly to talk on the air, and you came on the air and just went...
You sounded very briefly like a garbage disposal guy.
What happened? Were you eating something?
No,
was that like a phlegm in the throat situation?
Yeah, it was one of those I didn't prepare myself to speak, and then when I opened my mouth...
I gotta tell him about Cabal!
I thought you were doing a Cabali impression, is what I thought you were
doing. If I was doing that, I would have fallen asleep back here.
All right.
Anyway.
Cabali bomb. Kabam. As of right now, writes Cabali, the Steelers are not pursuing any wide receiver in free agency or a trade. They wanted Marquez Valdez-Scantling on the practice squad, but he signed with San Francisco due to injuries to San Francisco's wide receiver room. Brandon Ayuk is going to start the season on the IR. Says the Steelers are content going into the season with Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson.
All right, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you agree with the logic or not, it sounds like our buddy Donnie's landlord, who said maybe they just think they truly need one wide receiver to run the offense the way they want it, and it's more of a hedge against injury, is how they actually feel.
I don't agree with Donnie's landlord, and I have no issue or qualm or quarrel with him. I think that this is what happens when...
Everyone says no, and you can't get it done.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I was letting you walk down that road.
The Raiders were asking for too much. They don't feel like they need to trade Jacoby Myers. They'll only do it if it's a want move, where it's such a good trade. They can't say no to it. The Steelers don't want to meet that asking price.
And then
price.
They got spurned by MVS, who went somewhere else.
Right. So now it's, you know what?
We didn't need this anyway.
We like Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson to begin with. I feel like for as many good things as I think Omar Khan has done, I think his process as Steelers GM has been pretty good here. And because I know how much power Mike has, I have to give him some credit too for their approach to things over the last couple of years together. But this is just, it's just incredible to me that 2 years in a row, they could allow for the same thing to happen, where they enter the season with question marks galore at what has turned into a very, very important position in football. Quarterback is one.
Tackle and edge rusher.
And then the next three are tackle, edge rusher, and wide receiver.
And probably corner. So it's the the game is played on the edges. It's, do you rush the passer well? Do you stop the pass rusher? And do you run, have wide receivers who are productive and have people who can stop them? That's the game.
And I get it. You have a cap sport, so you can't be great at every position. You're also paying your quarterback $13 million. You took advantage of that when you traded for DK Metcalf, but you gave some of that back when you rightfully traded away George Pickens because you didn't want to deal with that headache. Unfortunately, when you did that, though,
you reopened a hole.
Yes. Where was your plan for that decision? Like, okay, if we're going to get rid of George because we just think it's addition by subtraction, who is going to fill these shoes? And don't tell me when they made the DK Metcalf trade, they thought to themselves, we don't really need George anymore because we think Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson are up for the
job. We have Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson in a trench coat. They'll be perfect.
Roman,
just as tall as
Roman
George.
Wilson had an up and down camp. He had some really good moments. He had some PP poor ones. He flashed in the preseason. All of that is 100% true. And Calvin Austin got hurt. And so we don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I think, likes Calvin Austin. I think he sees some things in Austin in terms of big playmaking downfield that get him excited as a quarterback. But to be a reliable number two wide receiver who has 800 yards, thereabouts, I don't see it in him.
They have one guy. And then they are hoping in something, I think, and wishing for something now because they haven't gotten any of these guys they've taken a swing at yet, that I don't think they've earned the benefit of the doubt or close to it on, which is they'll have the one guy who they think is a 1,000-yard receiver, set it in stone, and that out of Wilson, Austin, Freiermuth, Smith, and maybe throw in Jalen Warren as like your main, and Gainwell, that they will cobble together what looks like a reliable and somewhat dynamic second collective option, if you know what I'm getting at here. But why should a Mike Tomlin coach team at the core here be given benefit of the doubt that they'll take about six players, two from each of those other pass catching positions, and come up with a very clever offense? I don't believe it till I see it.
Well, I don't really think the initial plan was to have a clever offense. I think the plan for a while has been, let's play great defense, run the ball, and not turn it over. You've got two out of those three things you'd like to think. You know Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over a lot, and your defense should be great based on who's in it and how much you pay for it. The running thing is a massive question. You've got offensive linemen, at least... You've got really three new starters on the offensive line with Jones moving to left tackle, Fautanu having not played last year, and McCormick joined the party late last season.
Yep.
So 3/5 of your offensive line are new, and you've got a new running back who I like, but I also do not think that Jalen Warren is the type of running back where if there aren't holes there, he's going to do it on his own. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Bijan Robinson. Christian McCaffrey.
Even Saquon didn't do it on his own. When he didn't have anywhere to run in the Giants, right. He wasn't the Saquon Barkley we saw last year. You need a good line. It's very much established canon that much more important to having a good running game is having a good line than a great individual back. That's just a fact. We've gotten some YouTube responses here. Our friend Jory Rans Taint, he is comfortable with wide receiver two right now. It seems that there is an obsession that is a bit much. Conversely, Turd Samich thinks, with the combination of Rodgers' high-level brain and TJ's big contract, the Steelers are set. It's all good. I think that one's pretty sarcastic, Pony.
Yeah.
As usual, the chat contains multitudes here. We also are getting ripped by a guy named Mugwamp.
Oh no.
I think I've met him before. He likes the show, but then when he messages the show, he tells us how bad we suck.
Okay, what is he?
Do you guys know who was good at acquiring wide receiver talent? Colbert, who you goons consistently rip on.
Goons.
Tomlin reserves that word for T. Higgins and T. Higgins only.
He's right.
A big goon out there.
You're right, Molly Whopper.
Mugwamper.
Malzi, who is a North Catholic alum just like Kevin Colbert, can't wait to come on the air.
And rip him.
And tear the guy to ribbons.
I mean, we've established that he drafted a couple really good ones in successive drafts. And drafted Juju
yes,
several years
I don't think you
later.
Need to explain yourself because most everybody agrees with you except Molly Wop or whatever his name is. Welcome back. A lot to do. Mike Tomlin talking right now about the Steelers' 53-man roster decisions. We will have that audio for you. Jeff Hathorn is there, our Hawk Report, live on the scene as the Steelers wind down practice before they let their players loose one more time and then bring them all back Monday to get ready for the Jets. In New Jersey, week one. Steelers a 3-point favorite in that game. Breaking Browns news, they've signed another quarterback. Bailey Zappe joins the Browns practice squad, infamously beat the Steelers on a Thursday night game here 2 years ago, one of Bill Belichick's final wins as Patriots head coach in that game. So now it's Flacco 1, Dylan Gabriel 2, Shedeur Sanders the emergency third quarterback, Bailey Zappe and Kenny Pickett in Vegas. Let's go all access with Aditi Kinkabwala. She was the Browns sideline reporter for the preseason. NFL on CBS, longtime AFC North and a Steelers reporter there while at NFL Network. She's brought to you by Tap Brick Oven and Poorhouse out in Greensburg. Aditi, what happened with the Browns quarterback room? Why is Kenny Pickett in Las Vegas right now?
Because the Browns got an offer that they felt they couldn't refuse. I can tell you that when I left town on Saturday, well, that's what they gave up for him.
But they talked a big game with Kenny like they thought he was the answer.
They felt very strongly about him. None of that changed other than he got hurt. And
wait,
they didn't
wait a minute.
Get to see
time
anything,
out. I love you to pieces, but hold on a second here. If you say all these great things about a quarterback and profess that he could be your guy, and then you trade him for a day three pick. You could not have possibly liked him that much. I refuse to believe that.
Again, he got Wally pipped. When he was signed, Joe Flacco was not signed, and there were no two rookie quarterbacks selected at that point. They really, truly believed in him. Then they signed Joe Flacco. Then they drafted those quarterbacks, and they still gave him every single first-team rep, or the majority, I'm sorry, let me go back, still gave him the majority of the first-team reps in the spring. Then as soon as training camp opened, they gave him the majority of the first-team reps. Through those first 4 days, it sure looked like they were planning, proceeding as if he would be their starter. Kevin Stefanski said all the right things about how fast he looked, the way that he moved, what he offered, how he fit what he and Tommy Rees, the offensive coordinator, wanted to do. And then Kenny hurt his hamstring.
But if they really believed in him, why would they acquire three different quarterbacks, though? That's what I don't get. Like, why draft two and sign one if that's your guy?
Well, the whole draft scenario is something different, and that certainly wasn't the plan going in to draft three quarterbacks. The plan was to have Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and this one rookie quarterback that they liked a lot, Dylan Gabriel. And look, guys, like, this is a reality of the NFL. It happened to Kenny Pickett when he was in Pittsburgh. He was 7-4 that second season. He gets hurt. Mason Rudolph comes in. Mason Rudolph is, for Mike Tomlin, playing well enough. Kenny Pickett doesn't get his job back. And the difference here is that Kenny Pickett never even got healthy enough again.
Okay, but
to go out there and show what he could do.
He
wasn't even healthy enough for that third preseason game. And in the interim, Dylan Gabriel showed who he was.
Yes.
Showed what he was able to do from week to week. Showed things that the Brown staff felt strongly enough about.
Sure. That answers the question about one guy. They don't have a quarterback as a franchise. One guy's 40, and the other kid played like hot garbage in the last preseason game. So if you like a quarterback and you're a franchise without one, why would you jettison that guy just because of injury to keep a 40-year-old and a fifth-round pick who looked like dog vomit in his final preseason game?
Ultimately, the Browns have always been looking to next year. That's part of why that engineered that trade.
Kenny fit into next year more than Flacco or Shadur?
Oh, my goodness. Can I finish a sentence?
Yes, but I'm allowed to talk, too. I mean, it's not like I'm just going to turn the microphone off and let you talk for 15 minutes.
Of course not, but if you ask me a question, please allow me to at least finish answering the question before you jump in. The Browns engineered that trade out of the number two spot to get an extra first round pick next year to increase their chances. I don't know. Look, everybody knows. I am on the record saying how much I like Kenny Pickett as a human being and how wrong I think he was done in Pittsburgh. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I think Kenny Pickett is Joe Burrow.
So you think that
the New Orleans Saints had a shot. Kellen Moore knows Kenny Pickett as well as anybody. As far as I've been told, had a tremendous relationship with Kenny Pickett. He's inside deciding to go ahead with Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck. And I messaged another offensive coordinator about that in the National Football League. And I said, really, is Kenny Pickett not that much better than either of those two guys? And he said, it's probably a lot of the same. Or it's not discernibly enough different. I feel very sad for Kenny Pickett that he doesn't have an opportunity to go start somewhere. I do. I really think I can name several starters in the National Football League right now that I do think that he's better than. And I'll tell you that I left on Saturday, having talked to enough people, left Cleveland on Saturday, believing that he would be there because the Browns know that as veteran as four pieces of their offensive line are, their left tackle is still not totally someone that they have as much confidence in, that Joe Flacco, who is 40 years old and hasn't started a full season since 2017, has never had as part of his game the ability to move. But somewhere, and so therefore, as much as Kevin Stefanski did profess that he liked Kenny Pickett, as great of a teammate as Kenny Pickett obviously was, at some point between the time that I left Saturday until this offer for Kenny Pickett came in, the decision by the franchise was made that, well, if something happens to Joe Flacco, we're okay rolling with Dylan Gabriel.
If an NFL executive or coach texted you and said, you've been around these guys, who do you think has a better chance of being an NFL starting quarterback, Kenny Pickett or Shadur Sanders, what would you say?
Kenny Pickett.
So then why keep Sanders over Pickett?
I can tell you, I don't want to insult anybody, but I can name starting quarterbacks in the current National Football League whose coaches have told me that Kenny Pickett is better than the guy that they are starting.
Okay, but why keep Sanders over Pickett then?
Because you used a draft pick on him.
Don't you think there are some
cut and dry? We've seen plenty. We've seen plenty of teams cut draft picks that they just drafted. There are plenty of questions associated with why you would draft a quarterback just two rounds after a quarterback that you very clearly liked so much, but that's what they did. And Andrew Berry is someone who has not been known to cut loose a guy that he just drafted. And so there you are. And now the development of these quarterbacks becomes yet another thing that Kevin Stefanski has to figure out and deal with amidst massive circus that surrounds anything and everything related to Shadur Sanders.
Aditi, there's been a lot of conversation the last 2 days here about Jakobi Meyers. He asked for a trade. Many of these guys who do that end up getting a raise, but Mike Florio joined us last hour and said, things are a little bit more complicated than that in Vegas from the sounds of things. You've been on sidelines for Raiders games. Do you think that's somebody the Steelers should go after and try to fill their wide receiver two hole with?
The difficulty there is that he wants another contract. And my suspicion I have a friend, actually, who said that he is one of the top five players that he's ever coached in a 20-year NFL career.
Wow.
So, yeah, right? But he wants another contract. He wants another deal. And this friend, in fact, was trying to convince his general manager to bring him to his team, but the GM said that they don't have the money to give him the deal that they want. So if the Steelers have already paid DK Metcalf this amount of money, do you really think that they have the amount of money to keep Jacoby Myers happy? Mm. To make that trade happen?
I don't know. I mean, they don't have a quarterback that they're paying here, so why not? I mean, you've got big money invested in the years ahead on offense.
No, but is that where you want all your money in two wide receivers?
Well, Philly's done it that way, and it's worked okay for them with Smith and...
And the Bengals are doing it now, too.
Right. We'll see how that goes.
For the Bengals, you're saying?
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's gone pretty well for Philadelphia with Smith and A.J. Brown. They won a Super Bowl last year with both those guys. And we'll see what happens with Cincinnati this year with both of those two.
So I think the question becomes, do the Steelers want to put together the contract that Jacoby Myers is looking for? And do they have something to deal? Do they have something that the Raiders want?
What do you think the Raiders would want, draft picks or players?
My guess is they'd want draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's still a club that needs, you know, we're saying that's my week one game is Raiders at Patriots. And as I look at the Patriots, as much as they've improved the roster, it's still very clearly a team that needs to build. It's still a team that doesn't have any sort of depth.
The Patriots have the same win total in Vegas as the Steelers this year. They're both 8.5. How about that? Did you know that?
You know, I wonder how much of that is by virtue of who the head coach is.
Well, New England also has the easiest schedule in the AFC on paper this year, so that factors into it too.
The whole on paper thing is so interesting to me because really, who every year there's somebody that didn't make the playoffs and suddenly has a monster year, and every year there's somebody that you're expecting to have a good year who falls flat on their face.
Who do you think that team is that falls flat on their face this year?
Gosh, I set myself up for that, didn't I?
Yep.
I don't actually. Do you have one in mind? Do you know someone that you think is going to fall apart?
I don't think Houston makes the playoffs after going 2 years in a row and winning a playoff game in back-to-back years. When you can't protect your quarterback and you trade Laremy Tunsil, that seems like a flawed strategy, in my opinion.
It is a little bit weird how they completely remade the offensive line. But from what I'm hearing, I don't know, I'll have them actually week three. Mm. They apparently really love this new offensive coordinator and feel strongly about what they've put in there.
Yeah, they sent the kid from Baldwin to
with their...
They jettisoned Bobby, what was his name again? Bobby Slowick.
Slowick,
local
right,
kid.
Who was suddenly, after year one, was a hot head coaching candidate.
Yep.
There's something very weird going on with Joe Mixon, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they don't know if he's going to play this year now. That's
and
a part
so
of it, too.
It's so odd because nobody even knows how the foot, the ankle, whatever it is, was injured in the first place. It's a non-football injury.
Oof. All right, Aditi. I hope we didn't get off on a bad foot too bad today. We just
I'm sorry. I just felt like you were very passionate, as you are absolutely allowed to be. But if I can't finish a sentence, then it's difficult for the two of us.
Well, it's harder when we're not in person because I don't know sometimes when you're taking a breath to scream back at me or if you've actually finished your point.
I try not to scream back at you. I try to save that for my husband, but I apologize in perpetuity if I do scream.
We'll talk again next week. Thank you, Aditi.
All right, have fun.
Thank you. Malzy?
Yeah, what's up?
Felt like that kid in class where the teacher got really, really mad at that one kid and everybody just...
I go back to what Florio said. It's the Browns is the Browns. They think that Pickett's better than Sanders, but they can't bring themselves to get rid of Sanders. And you don't have a quarterback on your roster, and you're going to start the season with a 40-year-old? Like, I think Flacco is better than Kenny, don't get me wrong. But you've got a dead end. It's not like a Steelers roster where you feel like with a 41-year-old quarterback, you might be able to win something. They're picked to win like 3 games this year. How many did they win last year? 3? They went 3-14.
I just would say very much my opinion on it. If you really believe in a player like the Browns claim they did, and you're not just trying to gas up his trade value,
right,
then you don't bring him on, trade for him, then acquire via both signings and draft picks three more quarterbacks.
I know.
I don't think I should even have to explain why I feel that that means your statement of belief is hollow.
Yeah, it was BS, exactly.
Right. And I, frankly, if I were going to really make things contentious, would have demanded to know which starters in the NFL right now, which coaches are apparently saying, I'd rather have Kenny than the guy I'm starting, because if those people exist, why didn't their team trade for Kenny Pickett if he's so good?
So she said New Orleans didn't feel that way, and that would have been my first guess in this exercise. So who the frig else is out there who thinks that way?
If somebody is saying to you, Kenny Pickett is better than the player my team that I am coaching, because she did say it was a coach, right?
Could the Jets feel that way about Fields? Buyer's remorse already?
If you think he is good,
then why not go trade for him? Especially when you can only get him for a fifth round pick.
If you think he is like a better quarterback, then let's just say for argument's sake, 6 to 8 quarterbacks in the league,
you'd give up
pay
more than
a fifth for that.
Yeah, you'd pay more.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It does sound like hogwash.
Because it is.
Which is a word that doesn't get used enough. Would you agree with that, Charlie?
I like the word hogwash.
I just don't think that... I don't doubt that these people tell Aditi this stuff. I don't think they're being entirely sincere, because their actions or lack thereof do not match their words.
Right.
Period. I feel like I've said my piece on the matter.
I agree. If
here.
You were the Jets and you thought Kenny Pickett was better than Justin Fields, and they don't have a backup quarterback right now because Tyrod Taylor's hurt, and all you needed to do was give up
a fifth
round pick,
he's
or a
there.
Fourth round pick, and he's yours.
He's there.
And Fields plays a style that could get him injured. Why the heck would you not make that trade?
It's a layup for any NFL.
That's male
GM.
Practice.
It's a layup for any GM if you truly believe in the person.
All right. That music means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief. This is usually Donnie's time to shine. His biggest football story of the day, brought to you by Saloni's, Italian bread company, over 100 years of baking experience. But Donnie is doing wedding planning stuff today. So we have gorgeous Charlie Borges in.
Look at our boy all grown up, Donnie Football.
But Charlie's doing the same stuff, aren't
also
you?
Planning
also wedding planning?
Correct. We're in the process of looking at photographers, which
Pony and
is
I
always fun.
Are Pony and I headed to that one?
Which
do we
one?
Know?
To the Borges wedding?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
I didn't. No, I mean, we know Charlie, but we don't know him like we know Donnie. I wasn't doing it to blow up his spot. What if we crashed your wedding wearing Dumb and Dumber tuxes?
I mean, that's fine. Like, I don't care. You have to run it by the missus.
I think if we gave a nice enough gift, if she found out that the Dumb and Dumber guys gave you a really nice gift, I think it would be all forgiven.
I don't like that take on your part.
Run it by the missus?
Yeah, he just made it sound like it's all up to her. You need to take some ownership over your wedding, man.
Well,
Been a few people that she's like, why are they invited? And I've put my foot down.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
now,
I've taken Mulsey's advice.
Well, you know what my
What is Mulsey's
advice?
Like, act like you care about everything?
Have an opinion.
No, that's Pony. See, you're misrepresenting it. It is actually care about everything. Have a real opinion that is your true opinion, even if it's one that you are 99% sure she'll be like, no, I don't agree, I'm going with this. And then you say, okay, I can see why you like that, and you move on. But you have an opinion that you at least stick to, because then you are clearly engaged in the process, pun intended.
Correct. So there have been a few where I've stood my ground.
He put his foot down, Pony.
And how did that go?
They're on the list.
Look at that.
Pick
nobody,
your battles,
nobody
my friend.
Messes with Big Borges over there.
There have been... See, I have not been producing you guys enough.
Yeah.
That I can immediately put, like, yep, they're automatically...
You don't have to
invited.
Explain yourself.
You know
I think
mean?
That's fair.
Did any hosts here get invited?
Hosts?
Like full-time hosts.
A full-time... I don't believe so.
What if we found out he just invited Pomp?
Did all the full-time producers get invited?
No.
Did Donnie get invited?
Yes. As of right now, well, we haven't even sent out the save the dates.
But Donnie's there.
Donnie made the cut. Well, because he and Borges have worked closely together for a while.
Did Callis?
You could plead the fifth here if you don't want to incriminate yourself.
Don't give
yourself.
Him that
no,
out.
As of right now.
And it's not changing. Callis is out, and he should be out. Okay,
Whoa,
you don't need
you're
him
just murdering Callis here.
You don't need him pulling stunts like he did at our 5 alarm, where he broke chairs.
I'm just a love machine.
Was sweating all over the place.
You're basically describing the average Chris Farley sketch.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that in my head when I was saying it because that is pretty much what he did that day.
I have
day.
A joke about us having a buffet at the wedding that I just don't want to go there at this current
moment. Right. He should dress as Matt Foley for Halloween every single year.
Oh, my
year.
God. That would bring the house down. All right. What do you got for us in the debrief, Charles?
The debrief, 8/27/2025. I have to steal that from Donnie because it's just iconic. So I think Tom Brady is going to be better at his job this year because he was terrible at it last year.
Yeah.
And the NFL is apparently relaxing some of the rules that he was under last season.
Where he wasn't allowed to be in production meetings and stuff
this
like that.
This year, apparently, he will be allowed to partake in the production meetings, but he will still not be allowed to attend practices at team facilities because he is also a part owner sure. of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right. I am glad you actually brought this up. This gets down to me, Pony, and maybe I'm doing just the immediate snap reaction, and you're going to have some great argument to the contrary here. This still makes me mad that he even has the big high-paying job at Fox while being a minority owner of the Raiders, because even letting the guy in production meetings, I think, is letting him too close to the process for other teams and the mindset and some other stuff. The guy is uber competitive.
Exactly, and he wants to win so
he
bad,
wants every
I would not
edge.
Put it past him to take that information
he
and give it to the Raiders.
He played for Bill Belichick.
100%.
I think this is garbage, man. He is worth a lot of money already, and I know Fox is committed to paying him like $38 million a year, whatever it is, $37 million.
I'd lie to him. I'd give him bad information.
Right. If I were these coaches and players in the meetings, I'd be telling him all sorts of BS because not only would it then not give him an edge, he would sound like a buffoon on TV.
I've got good news for you here because I'm with you, Charlie. I don't think he was very good last year. We're not going to have to worry about that this season. The Steelers are only on Fox one time. That's in week two, their home opener against the Seahawks. That same day, the Eagles play the Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch on Fox at 4:25. Brady will get that game, so we won't have Brady. We got Brady. We got hit over the head with Brady late last year. We don't have to worry about that this season because I do concur. Like, he was so rigid, and he was like the antithesis of Tony Romo. Tony Romo, I think, goes maybe too far in one direction as far as like letting the emotions of like the game itself get him going in a game. And like the analysis gets lost because he just starts like,
oh my God,
exactly.
Jim.
He fanboys out.
Wow.
And Brady was just devoid of like that. He was devoid of personality last year. And I think he like was also, for whatever reason, like not willing to give super critical analysis, which he should be the best at, maybe other than Peyton Manning.
It also says that Brady would be allowed to interview players off-site and not in team facilities. The rule of him not being able to criticize game officials and other teams and being subject to the NFL's anti-tampering policies are still in effect. So he still cannot call out officials on terrible calls.
Listen, I just think he shouldn't be allowed to have his cake
100%.
And eat it too.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line here.
I have one more thing.
Go ahead.
You can squeeze it
quick
in.
Quick one, yeah.
Desmond Watson, who was the defensive lineman for the Florida Gators and signed as an undrafted
big
free
boy,
agent.
Big boy, 6'5", 450.
6'6", 300 or 464 pounds he weighed in at his pro day. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers cut him without having him wear pads once this year or this
offseason. he never practiced. He just tried to lose weight and walk the facility the way they used to make Casey Hampton do it when he would fail the run test, and Cowher would just make him like walk the facility and walk the training camp fields to lose weight. And the guy only lost like 14 pounds, I think.
He was released at weighing at 449 pounds. Jeez. So a big dude walking around in the sun in Florida was not able to lose the required amount of weight in the
serious
period of time.
Quick question. Shouldn't he have on a daily basis under like doctor's supervision been able to just lose about 10 pounds of water weight?
You would think.
How about take the shot? Why not do that?
Oh, the big O?
Hey, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, next time, why don't you give my friends at Awaken 180 weight loss a call?
I was setting you up for that.
844-346-1800.